As you know, that in 1 week, on Monday, which is March 15, we would have reached our first year anniversary as doing this live stream. And I'm going to share that with you later. And so thank you for, again, joining me with the prayer today. And at the same time, listening to what God has to say, to speak into our hearts, because His words is a light truly to us. Let's look at the gospel reading today. It was quite a long reading. And we realize that this happened in one of Israel's great annual feasts, which was the Feast of Tabernacles. Who does not like festivities? We all do like festivities. From cities to hamlets, a group of people celebrates to mark an event of significance that is passing on, whether a tradition or something significant, to the next generation. Why? That's the reason why there are celebrations. You can more or less tell the identity of a country and its trajectory or where it is heading by what it celebrates. In the distant past, celebrations, though not all, were from, you know, religious significance. Towns were named after saints like Santa Rosa, San Pedro Laguna, San Juan Capistrano, California, San Michel, France, Maryland, USA, Santiago de Compostela, Spain. So you see that, you know, perhaps 500 years ago or more, many of these names came out because they were dedicating their towns to a particular saint and seeking for protection. Israel celebrated, or their celebrations coincided with agricultural activities, but mainly they celebrated God's intervention in her history. One of them is the Feast of Tabernacles. This religious feast inaugurated, and you will see it in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, commemorated the years in the wilderness when the Israelites lived in temporary shelters, tabernacles, or tents. It is also an occasion of thanksgiving to God for bringing the people to the promised land. Besides, the Feast of Tabernacle celebrates the temple's completion, the permanent dwelling place of God built to replace the central tabernacle, which was a movable sanctuary. As we look at the reading, St. John assumes that we, his readers, know the setting on when this happened. It was at this feast, a great feast. Many people were in Jerusalem. And what happened? Jesus taught at the temple, and they questioned him. They argued with him. They wanted to arrest him, and they wanted to kill him. Interesting. This was not a small celebration, my brothers and sisters. This was a big celebration. As I mentioned, the Feast of Tabernacles commemorated the years of the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, in the wilderness where they lived in shelters, tabernacles, and tents. I made that point because it leads us to three important things associated with their experience in the wilderness and which is celebrated during this feast. First, the giving of the manna from heaven because the people were hungry. Second, light representing the pillar of fire that leads the people through the wilderness. This glorious luminance signified the presence of God among them and an indication that God was with them, even in the wilderness. The third is water, because when the Israelites thirsted in the desert, Moses struck a rock and water flowed from it to quench the people's thirst. Let us look at the Christian counterpart. The celebration, or Christian celebration, is grounded on a three-year cycle, pointing to Christ's three-year ministry on earth, beginning from the season of Advent to the celebrating of his second coming, or towards Christ the King. For us, the manna from heaven points to the sacrament of the Eucharist. The rock represents Christ. The water is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His presence is among us. Any two of you gather in my name, I will be in the midst of you. The light of the gospel leads us and guides us in the paths of righteousness. What is the significance of Israel's experience in the wilderness? This seems to be a big deal. And even Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So it shows us that God's ability or his ability to provide and care for his people even when we are in the wilderness. I always like to make a comparison that God gave Adam and Eve a garden, but through sin, Adam and Eve lead humanity to the wilderness. But even in the wilderness, God does not abandon his people. Again, as I said, he has the ability to provide and care for his people, giving them food to eat. He provided food to his people, delivered from heaven to feed them. A little bit of a sense of humor. You know, McDonald's may have been the one who came up, with the idea of called drive-through, and that became very popular in California. But God came up with the idea of food delivery, even from heaven, before Uber Eats. God provided water by splitting the rock. Why? Because God's hand brought them something to drink, because they knew they were thirsty. But why wilderness? Why wilderness? I kept on asking myself, why wilderness, Lord? Well, one of the answers is due to human insistence. God allows us to go our own way, to drift to a place like a wilderness. Why? So we will come to a profound realization of our need for him. When everything sometimes is taken away, we realize how much we need God. There comes a time in life that we realize it is really not something that we need, but someone. Let me repeat what I said. There comes a time in our life that what we need is not something, but someone. And that someone is Jesus. If you are in the wilderness, be rest assured, God is with you. But there might be a purpose why God allows us to go to the wilderness. As Archbishop Craig Bates says, God sometimes allows us to come to a point of holy desperation. And we realize that it's not something which we need in life, but it's someone whom we need in life, who rather we need in life, and that is Christ.